B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Landis Block. Your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online, landisbc.com. Sal Powell, Tuesday with Sal. He'll join us at 5:15 p.m. All right, so early in the show, start talking about the loss to the New England Patriots has made everybody think that the season's over. And you know what? It might be. I don't know. But I certainly, mathematically, I need more than to proclaim the season's over. Did the offense look good against the New England Patriots? No, they did not. Can the offense score enough points to beat Russell Wilson this Sunday? Probably not. But still, as we look down the road, there's still that Dallas Cowboy game that will probably decide the division. It'll be a home game. I can't pronounce the Eagles out of that yet. All right? So I don't know why we're going to that extent. Now, if you want to come to a conclusion this team's not good enough to win the Super Bowl, I'm right with you. They don't have enough offense to win a Super Bowl. I get that. But if you lower your expectations, you go, well, you know, it's still possible. They win a division. They play a playoff. You sit in front of your television. You got 1 week to talk about playoff football. It's better than nothing, right? It's better than not making the playoffs. Now, when it comes to Carson Wentz, you're seeing the turn against him right now. And you might be right. The people that have turned against him, the people that are out there saying, it's not going to happen. Wrong guy. You can't be right yet, though. Because it's too early and it's too impractical to look at him right now with who he's trying to play with and pronounce that he's not the guy. Is he giving you hope? No. Somewhere along the line, he's changed. He's lost a little confidence. He doesn't look like the same swashbuckling player that played early in his career. I don't know why that is. Might be a variety of factors. But, you know, this turn against him, to me, is unreasonable.
It is. And the other thing that these guys are doing, they're using the like a transitive property in this, in that last game, whatever you want to blame him for, go ahead. Like, whatever, people disagree about how much blame him for the last game, not getting him in the end zone, missing Zach Ertz, fine. Completely legitimate. They're then applying that to other things conveniently that happened during the season that weren't necessarily his fault. And that's the thing that I think is the problem. Because, okay, let's say Aguilar had caught that last pass. Let's just say he did for a second. That would not change the fact that he missed Ertz. It would just happen to be that somebody picked him up at another play and it got glossed over. What hasn't happened at all this year is that every time he makes a mistake, there's no one there to make a play to gloss over that mistake. Other quarterbacks miss passes. But on a lot of those teams, either somebody can catch a ball that seems a little bit uncatchable, or on the next play, they deliver for the quarterback. And then what we remember is the outcome. Because we know the outcome of the Patriots game, we only remember Wentz's, some people that have called you today that said it's all his fault, only remember his mistakes, but don't remember some of the mistakes of the personnel. And that's why I can't bail
Or the mistakes of the game plan.
The game plan
that
as well.
Offered to the person.
Right. Sanders not touching the damn ball, all those kind of things. That's why I can't bail. I will bail the minute I look at them. If Deshaun Jackson was healthy all year and they were 5-5, I'd be blaming the quarterback. Mm-hmm. For example, as at some point, I believe he'll get some personnel. It could be next year. If he has personnel and they're not winning,
that's how you can judge.
I'm out on the quarterback. Until he, and that doesn't mean he wasn't supposed to win the Patriots. That doesn't mean that. What I'm saying is I can't bail on a guy when you give him table scraps. Give the guy some beef. You're giving him scraps out there with these receivers.
And if you give him beef and he doesn't get it done, then you're absolutely, you have a conclusion.
Right.
You don't have a conclusion now, though. Because, you know, I mean, people say, well, trade him and draft another franchise quarterback. All right, let's look at the guys that are the highly touted ones next year's draft. The two guys, if Tua's not going to be drafted because of the hip thing, and he'll probably be drafted late, or I don't know, somebody will take a chance on him. He won't be drafted where he was supposed to be.
He's going to be
drafted.
First overall.
Yeah. So the two guys there now are Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you actually say, like, they are better talents than Wentz?
No.
You can't say they're better talents than Wentz.
You cannot.
They might be okay. I'm looking at Burrow, and I go, okay, he's
he's a good player. He's playing with great personnel around him. I mean, great personnel. And NFL players abound on that team.
And he's already a year older than Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So, right, I mean, now,
maybe
in
he
college.
Turns into a star. I don't know. He turns into a star. But as you're evaluating the talent level of a Carson Wentz coming out, a Burrow coming out, a Herbert coming out, can you say that you're better off with another guy? I don't think you can.
I think that's fair.
Let's go. Ken is calling from, I never heard of Thompson. Ken, where are you from, bud?
Okay, Thompson, Pennsylvania. Did you ever hear of
Thompson? Wow, I've never heard of Thompson, Pennsylvania. Ken, where is it?
It's 15 minutes south of the New York state borderline.
Oh, you're way up there.
Yes, I am.
Oh, glad that we're being shown up there on the telly.
Yes, you are.
Beautiful.
Hey, my question is in 17, when we went all the way, did we have an offensive coordinator that called the plays?
No, the head coach called the plays.
And he really called the plays back then?
Yeah.
How the hell did he...
Well, don't you remember he was supposed to be this master play caller? Who said that on his team? Somebody on the team said he's a master play caller.
So what did he do? Take a stupid pill in the meantime?
I don't know what has happened. He's coming off not real well to me right now in light of the fact that he should know that he's got a lack of personnel and he's got to be a little more innovative to get the ball down the field.
Yeah, because, okay, after the 95-yard drive, all right, then he comes down and just constantly passes the ball.
Yes, it's foolish.
You went right into the best thing that New York could do, and that is defend the pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Good pill?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Okay, that was my only question.
Thanks for checking in, Ken, from Thompson.
Wow.
L.A. Thompson, New York border.
I knew we were up that far.
So does that count as the mountain?
No, it's past the mountain, right?
There's no mountain up there? Because I'm still waiting for that first positive call from the mountain. And he was not as negative. He didn't want to fire everybody. He did mention stupid pills, though, so he wasn't exactly
Let me
positive.
See. I'm going to look it up on the map. Thompson, Pennsylvania.
I just want the mountain, one positive mountain call. We've yet to get one since we've been on TV. The mountain people tend to have a lot of angst.
Exactly.
They never call with a great game. Coach did a great job. Yeah, player played great.
They want more out of the season being up there than we even do here.
Really?
Holy guacamole.
We have Philadelphia. We have a cultural city. We have a lot of stuff to do.
Restaurants.
Yeah, we don't have palm trees, but we got
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. Up there in the mountains,
I think it's past the mountains. This is far up there.
Is it really?
It really is.
Border?
It really is close
up there,
to
all the way. NBC Sports Philly goes all the way up there?
Yeah. Our map, I saw the covers map one time. We're pretty
awesome.
It's right, Thompson's right next
it's
to
40
Staruka.
Yeah, this is 40 miles north of Scranton, which means it's 50 miles from New York City. Because I think Scranton's 90 miles.
It's close to New York.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're staying up there.
Starts red in the news.
We're going to Matt Hazleton. What's up, Matt?
Hi, Mike. Thanks a lot for taking my call. As always, love
my
the
pleasure,
show.
Buddy. Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about Carson, and I wanted to... Tyrone hit on a lot of points that I actually want to talk about, hit on too. I think people are saying he should be gone and we're going to just find another quarterback. It's just crazy to say that. And they need to look back at what happened from his year one to year two when we added the weapons, when we added Alshon from a couple years ago when he was still kind of in his prime there, not compared to how he's playing now, and added the Torrey Smith, who wasn't perfect, but he was a good deep threat. And, you know, we had Aguilar making plays that year. And look at the year he had, you know. So for people that are clamoring for this, maybe he's just not, you know, he's not Tom Brady, and that's okay. And, you know, people just need to realize we're lucky to have a stable quarterback that can be a franchise quarterback for many years, and he just needs some weapons added around, and he could be a good quarterback again.
Maybe, and, maybe not. But we can't say that yet, you know.
Right.
We don't have a conclusion yet on his ability as a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
That's now, all one, I'm saying.
Yeah, and one thing that does concern me, and you touched on a little bit, is some of the games that he wasn't able to come through when we had chances maybe this year. Sometimes there was a lot of drops this year, But just looking, I went back and looked at game-winning drives, and it concerns me. Dak Prescott, since he's been in the league, has 14 game-winning drives, and Carson, I believe, has 5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a big disparity, and it's not always going to be his fault, but it does feel like, from my opinion, since I've been watching Carson, that it does seem like he lacks that clutch gene. Now, that's not all his fault, but it just feels that way. So, like you said, that's yet to be determined, and I still have hope that you'll be right and we'll win against the Cowboys.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, his numbers aren't very good. They're really not. Now, you can take that a lot of ways, but I can't run from it. He's got to be better in that area. He's got to be clutcher.
Yeah, and do I have time to make one quick point on Peterson as well?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say I was critical of him earlier in a couple calls and talking about Frank Reich, and I think that he could still be a great play caller. I just think he's not as good of a game planner as we maybe thought, and that if he got somebody else to help him a little bit, he could call, if he had the right plays to call, he could call the right plays.
Well, I think what you're going to see with this season, which is going to end either in a 10-6 max or 9-7, no playoffs, you're going to see the offensive coordinator is gone, and you might get that guy.
Yeah.
And Peterson may give into it.
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right, Matt. You know what we always do is we always rank where Carson stands in the league. It'd be interesting to do that now, in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had him as a definite top 8.
Yeah.
Dak's passed him.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't think you can say that he's higher than Dak right now. Dak's playing better football than
he Dak has better weapons. I don't know.
He does, but he's still playing better football.
I don't think he is. That's the thing. I think the weapons play a big role. Every quarterback that you're going to name has elite weapons, except for maybe one. They all have elite weapons. Not just good, elite weapons. Elite. And that's my issue. Elite weapons.
I want to see where he stands.
I'm telling
right
you.
Now, let's go down the list.
Okay.
Right, let's go Brady, Rodgers, Wilson.
Yep. And Brady, but Brady's lower on that list for this year.
In no particular order in the top, but those guys are obviously still at the top of the heap. Mahomes.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
No question at this point. Let's see. Did I say Rodgers? I did. Breeze.
You'll say Breeze.
Breeze. You won't say Breeze, nope. But I'll say Breeze.
Also, that's incredible weapons. The best. That one wide receiver on the Saints has more catches than the entire Eagles receiving core.
Okay.
Thomas does.
All right. Breeze is definitely in top 6. I'm going Dak.
Yeah, I don't 7. Go Dak.
All right, who you go 7?
I have to look at all the teams. I'm trying to think.
Oh, I'm going
to
give you I'll give you all of them.
All right.
Not the Bills.
No.
Not the Jets. Not the Dolphins.
Nope.
Steelers. Nope.
Nope.
Cleveland Browns. No.
Nope.
Bengals. No.
Nope.
Jacoby Brissett.
No. I like Carson more than him.
Deshaun Watson.
Yes, I put him ahead. Also, and amazing weapons, but I'll go ahead.
I'll go Watson. Tannehill, no.
No.
Nicky Giasol, Foles.
No.
Derek Carr.
No.
Rivers.
No, Rivers is struggling.
Okay.
A lot of yards, but a lot of picks, a lot of turnovers, a lot of sacks.
Gavin the Broncos, no.
No.
Daniel Jones, no.
No.
Okay. Haskins, no.
No.
Kirk Cousins.
No, but he's having a good year with great weapons.
I'm putting Cousins ahead of him right now.
I wouldn't, but he got another guy with two great weapons.
No Cousins. No,
and a great running back.
Trubisky. Stafford's out, but Stafford, no. Panthers are going with a backup, so we can't even put it in there. And Matt Ryan.
And Matt Ryan has been up and down all year and losing.
Jameis.
Throws a million interceptions.
Garoppolo.
I mean, they're 9-2, but not because of him. That defense is playing lights out, so I like Carson more than him.
Okay.
That defense is really good in San Fran.
Goff.
No, Goff is struggling every bit as much with amazing weapons.
Murray.
Another guy with great... No.
Okay.
So where's that?
So you've got... I've got Cousins and Dak ahead of Carson.
All right, so where do you have
him? So I've got Carson, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got him 10th.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll go 10th.
I'll go 10th. We're destroying them.
Uh-huh.
Compared to everybody in the league, you can't get below 10.
And that's why I think that, again, do whatever you want with the Patriots game. Blame them as much as you want. But when you look at it in totality, every person in that top nine, every person ahead of him, every nine of those guys has better, much better weapons, to substantially better. And the only one that's it, Jackson is the only one that's unconventional. They don't have great receivers. They have good tight end, and they're handing the ball off, and they're running the ball. But the eight of those guys have substantially better weapons than Carson Wentz. And all I'm saying
is, to be fair, if Stafford's healthy, if Newton's healthy,
Cam's been on leaking oil.
I get it, but they at least would be in a conversation.
Okay.
Murray may be in the conversation, but I agree. When you look at the skill set, you can't come up with guys that are better than him from 1 to 10.
And I'm saying, give me just Hopkins. Give me one of those Vikings wide receivers. Give me just Thielen. And then if he's failing, by all means, blame him. Give me a running back, a real running back. Give him McCaffrey. Give him Dak.
See,
Zeke. Give him Zeke.
Right into your Wentz haters, I've dropped him. Sliding scale for me. I dropped him a couple spots from where I used to have him. Let's go to Phil in Havertown. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Phil?
Hey, so, I'm a Carson guy, and it's tough, but he looks like he doesn't have a lot of confidence. But the thing I wanted to ask and just, get your spin on it was Alshon Jeffrey. Now, when he left Chicago, wasn't he kind of injury prone and becoming a bit of a problem?
Yes.
And are we seeing the same thing now?
Well, he's old. I look at NFL players, they take a lot of hits and they get beat up, and he looks like a beat up player to me. So that's 2 years down the road. Now, 2 years ago, he looked a lot better, but now he doesn't look very good.
But is it, I guess my point would be, is he looking for an out because of the locker room that we don't exactly know what are going on in the locker room?
Is he looking for an out?
Alshon. I mean, just, is he, did he want to get out of Chicago in the same way because of the situation?
He's also got to look himself in the mirror and say, I'm an older player who's not as good as I was, and I got $12 million coming to me from this team. So I don't know what he's thinking, to be honest with you. He likes to go to Sixers games, so maybe he'd like to stay here.
Well, maybe. I mean, but his attitude from, TV interviews and stuff like that was, just loving life, especially, obviously from the Super Bowl years. Mm-hmm. But now it just seems like he's different. So I don't know.
I don't think he's attitudinal, because I think he's got to understand that his ability is waning.
He's definitely in a decline. But, I was at the game on Sunday, and, it was tough. Like, walking out of the game, you could definitely, just from the stands and seeing the entire field, you could definitely see Carson just missing some of those throws. Mm-hmm. And, depending on where you're sitting, you could just
And people turned on him. Yesterday, a big turn on him. Today, a little less. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And Thursday, I think we'll get a little closer to the 50 percentile. But right now, the majority is against him. And right. it's fresh.
And I'm wondering if he had, I wonder if he felt a Patriot pressure. He looks just feverish to me from watching it live.
There's no question he does. He looks stiff to me. Herky jerky. And when you're herky jerky, you can't flow the ball out of your hand. And I think that manifested itself in that last drive. That was a stiff quarterback throwing those balls to guys. John and Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, John?
Yeah, in reference to Carson, I can't, and people putting him down, you can't help but think of the Packers game, though,
Yeah. And even in this game, he made a couple great plays. Like, how does he make that play?
Exactly. I just sometimes wonder about the soft pass, And I remember Tony Romo and the other guy saying, Nance, that run he made to the left-hand side. Yo, do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he just seems like a deer in headlights lately.
Yeah, he's not playing with confidence. Knowing when to get out of there, use your legs.
Exactly.
They're also not, I'm surprised that they're not rolling him out of a pocket to get him, into a different situation.
Exactly. It looks like it's all psychological with him lately.
Yeah, and see, that's a coaching thing. My quarterback is stiff, I can do some things. Roll out of the pocket, screen pass it, get the ball in, running back quick and flat. I don't understand this coaching staff sometimes.
Well, don't think anyone does. Mike, one last question.
Yes, sir.
Friday, you're lined. I couldn't get through because you were talking about that Thursday game.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that video mucho times. The more I see it, the more I blame that quarterback for Pittsburgh. Don't blame him, but you know what I mean? I don't want to say it looked justified, but...
What are you blaming him? What? Like what?
When he took the pop on the head, you know?
How did he invite that? Like, what did he do to invite an assault and battery?
I don't want to say he invited it or labeled an assault and battery either, but you've seen the video, what, how many times?
Yeah, but what did he do to invite that kind of thing?
I think I would have to be on the field. I take that back. I would have to be on the field to describe
it. Listen, they were in a pile, right? They're on the ground. Maybe he kicked at the guy. Maybe he grabbed his testicles. Whatever it was, is more of a normal course scrum than getting up, ripping a guy's helmet, and using it as a weapon. I'm astonished at the people that go, well, he asked for it. And some well-respected ex-football players have said that. And I go, take off your macho sweater. Seriously, dudes. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
.30 time for a Twitter poll update. And the Twitter poll update is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,700 votes on this one so far. Are we overreacting to the Eagles' loss to the Patriots? 37% say yes, 63% say no.
All right, thank you very much. By the way, the toothpaste topic is getting a lot of feedback on Twitter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. In fact, your wife has chimed in, Tyra.
Oh.
She has.
Yeah, so first let me read this one from Michael Hand. And Michael says, people need to learn how to calculate the value of their time. The 2 to 3 minutes wasted cutting that tube isn't worth the .0005 of toothpaste.
It doesn't take two to three minutes.
It's
1 snip.
Cut it in. You stick the tube in.
You know how the scissors handy. You got to go get the scissors.
I have scissors in my drawer.
Who doesn't have a little scissors?
I mean, that's
your little scissors in your toiletry drawer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have little scissors?
No.
You don't have bathroom scissors?
No.
Huh.
Sometimes you use the curly scissors to cut your nails.
No, I got the little scissors. I get the tweezers. I got the tweezers in there.
Where you cut your nails?
With a proper nail clipper.
Well, this is a crescent, the crescent scissors.
Crescent scissors.
Yeah, no.
They come in a kit.
I've seen somebody get cut, almost had to go to the hospital with those crescent scissors. They turn in.
They were trying to do a cuticle.
And next thing you know, they're squirting blood every which way.
Well, that's a goof.
With a cuticle with those. I won't touch those.
Crescent scissors.
Yeah, that's dangerous, man.
Dangerous? It's about this big.
Nah.
I have scissors.
So like a machete?
That I trim my actual hair with sometimes.
Oh, okay. I got
that. I keep in my drawer.
All right. Anyway,
what else are people?
All right. So let's go down here and see your wife. Elizabeth has tweeted in a photo of the little tube tool. Like it's like a clamp that pushes the toothpaste up. Well, Elizabeth, I just replied to her. You're still leaving residue in the inside of the tube.
It doesn't get it all.
Yeah, your fingers can do the same job. That tool can.
I know, I agree. So and I don't even know where to get one of those.
All right. Now let me get to this guy here, Mr. Fun. Mr. Fun has tweeted in with this thought here. His name's Thomas Benefield.
Okay.
And if you know Thomas Benefield, go over his house and like dress like a clown and do a card trick or something. Because this guy needs some humor in his life.
He's bored.
Thomas Benfield goes, why does your show worry about nonsense? It's rhetorical because stupid topics are ratings to you. It's really childish, and it doesn't matter in any way to real life or sports topics.
It does matter in real life.
Come on, Thomas.
This is real life.
Get the pull out of your keister.
When you run out of toothpaste, what do you do? This is a life this is a life situation that people face every day.
We have some NBC Sports Philadelphia feedback coming in.
Who have me and Mike's back, oh, I know. Yeah.
Danny Palmel's does it.
And Michelle Murray.
And Michelle Murray, the boss. The boss does this. The boss is even doing the toothpaste stuff.
Oh, my man. Come on, dude.
But why is that guy
have a little chuckle out of it. That's all it is.
But that's a relatable thing because everybody has a thing.
Everybody runs out of toothpaste at one point.
I'm very particular about when the air's on, keep them doors closed. Elizabeth will pop outside real fast on the slider, and I will push the slider closed when she's still outside because the air is leaving the house.
So you, wait a minute. Do you have the toothpaste slider? She tweeted a picture of it. No. Your wife.
Oh, yeah. No, but we don't use it.
She sent a photo with the slider around a tube of toothpaste.
Yeah, we have it, but I don't use it.
Well, apparently she's using it.
I'll tell you what, the Johnsons have like everything. They've got all bases covered, I feel, times. They're very prepared. I think you guys are very prepared.
No, we tend to be.
Considering I'm never prepared.
We tend to be prepared. We have a lot of stuff in the car.
They always have chargers and handy wipes and hand sanitizers.
They're survivalists.
They are.
We'll be ready in this urban jungle. You got to be ready.
Can you make fire with two sticks?
I bet they could. And I show up with nothing, just myself.
Somebody get this guy, Thomas Benfield.
What's his problem?
I need his address. I want to send him a laugh bag. There is laugh bags used to buy at Spencer Gifts.
Yes.
Yeah, he needs one of those really bad.
Come on, Thomas.
He doesn't use toothpaste.
Let's go to Tony in Philly. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony. Yo, Tony, you got to turn off your radio, whatever you got back there. Tony!
Yes.
You're on the air. Turn off your radio. Come on. Turn off your television. I hear it in the background. Let's go.
Okay.
All right, you got it off?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, buddy. You're on the air. Tony.
Yeah.
You're on the air. There's a delay. Don't listen to the TV.
Okay.
You got to turn your television off.
I got it off.
Tony, turn it off, please. All right, now, let's start. You're on the air. Go. You still got the television on. I can't believe it. I gave the guy a chance. Derek in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Derek.
I don't know how I follow that. How is everybody doing today?
Good, man. How you doing?
That's good. And as much money as y'all making, y'all should be able to just buy more toothpaste, by the way.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a frugal...
I just want to say that.
That's why I brought it up, because I'm an idiot. It's a frugal trait that I brought from growing up, with frugality.
when you was halfway rich, right? Okay.
Back then, I'm telling you, I came from a family that fused soap, brother.
Right.
So I would do something like cut a tube in half.
I hear that. I'm just joking. Well, you got to do what you got to do to survive. That's right.
I hear you.
McNabb, did he have any weapons? If you think McNabb played like he did yesterday, when he got just annihilated,
McNabb, believe it or not, always had better receivers, even though we didn't think they were, than this crew.
Okay, that makes right, because at the time nobody thought that, and they were just
But look up the numbers. We hated Pinkston, we hated Thrash. Look up their numbers.
No, I agree, because McNabb made them better. That's what Carson Wentz has to do. He has to throw these dudes open, make them. Mm-hmm. Make them better.
I got you. But like we used to think, we call them Thrash and Stinkston, right? Now, right. We would kill to have those two right now on this team.
Hey, I would kill to have their sisters and brothers on the field than what we got now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's up with Aguilar.
2002 was the big year, right?
Well,
2004 was the big year. 2002 was when they started to be a good team. Right? He had 60 catches.
Hey, I would let me tell you something about Aguilar. He's a Super Bowl champion. what's going on with him? This is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, Carson Wentz just got he got a bad draw. He just got it bad right now because he don't have no weapons but Sanders, and the coach took him out the game. What do you want the man to do? I mean, I feel for him both ways. I really do. I understand the situation. I mean, if you don't got nobody to go to war with you.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's why the coach had to have a different game plan. But still, first down, 26-yard line, open receivers. Can't ignore that. Yeah, right? Am I right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Man, maybe I need to stop drinking. Maybe they'll stop drinking and everything will look better on TV. I don't know.
All right, Derek. 60 catches for Pinkston, 2002.
And what was the yards per catch on that?
Yards per catch. It doesn't have it.
Oh, okay. I'll try to find it because I think he actually had a decent yards per catch that year.
Let's see. 798 yards, 13.3 yards per reception.
That's not bad.
Seven touchdowns.
See?
He had seven touchdowns.
Right.
Now, in 2004, he was garbage because they had replaced him. So he had 36 catches the next 2 years after that.
But I bet you he had more yards per catch after that. So he started becoming a deep threat.
16.0 and 18.8.
There it is. I think he led the league that year.
Catches.
He was a deep threat for them.
Right.
And now he had real receivers, so he became a one-dimensional deep threat, something this team also doesn't have.
Yes.
Thrash and Pinkston.
Thrash, 63 catches in 2001, 52 in 2002, 49 in 2003, and he was gone.
Yeah, went to Washington. Now,
eight touchdowns in 2001, six touchdowns in 2002. Now, we thought they were garbage, and they were pretty much. But that's a little more production than what you're going to get out of this crew.
And they did not lead the league in drops. They didn't get open, but when they thrashed, especially when he got his hands on it, would catch it. And Pinkston would not be tough all the time, but he would catch it for the most part. These guys also lead the league in drop rate. None of those guys dropped it for five. And he was throwing worm balls, and they still caught it.
All right. 610-632-0975 is the number. As we head to the 5 o'clock hour with Sal Powell on the Mike Missinelli Show on radio and TV.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, Biggie. This guy tweeted again.
Is he mad?
Yes. Why don't you repeat this childish remark on the air? Because it said he's going to stick up his keister. I did repeat it on the air. He goes, what I said is accurate, and it shows because you lashed out, showing the stick up your rear. Guys like you are a dime a dozen, spending your days criticizing others for doing what you can't. That's not a shtick, it's a fact.
I think he's projecting.
This guy's humorless, man.
Yeah.
I smell some projection.
Some issues, man.
I want to invite him into the studio to do one segment.
I want to hang out with him because we can have fun.
Yeah, have him in. Since Mike's criticizing people for things he can't do, and he's criticizing Mike, and I'm pretty sure he can't do this.
Come in
and do a segment.
Let's see what this guy's about.
We got you, Tom.
Here's his Twitter. Without care and concern for your fellow man, we are doomed.
That's interesting.
He doesn't have any care for me.
He does not.
None.
Oh. What's he look like? He looks like a normal guy.
Looks can be
very deceiving. I think we all know that.
Come on, Thomas.
The fact that he goes by Thomas and not Tom says a little bit about him.
They're
former fella. Buttoned up fella. Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Buttoned up fella.
There's nothing wrong with Thomas.
There's nothing wrong with it, but why are you so formal?
So if I go by Michael, it's not good?
It would be weird if you said, hello, everybody. The Michael Miss. Yeah, it would be weird. It would be, yes.
People call me Michael.
Yes, some people do, but you're not offended if someone says Mike. Just like I'm not. People call me Ty. I don't go, hey, it's Tyrone, damn it. That's what Thomas does. No good.
When I was younger, I didn't want to be called Nat. I wanted to be referred to as Natalie.
No good.
That was a different thing.
Yeah, I don't think Thomas is a big deal, but I think these guys got issues. I'm rescuing Ralph in Tom's River. Ralph, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic in Thomas River. Go ahead, Ralph.
How you doing, sir?
What's up, buddy?
I'm tired of people condemning Wentz all the time. I mean, you could take any other quarterback and put him in his shoes, and if you throw a ball and it hits a rock, it's going to fall on the ground. That's what the receivers are. They're rocks. They can't catch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. They don't. So now, if you're the coach, how would you handle that situation?
Well, I think the game Sunday was very poorly coached. The first quarter, they played great ball, and then he went away from the run after the first quarter.
Well, there you go. You answered it. It's the million-dollar word. If you don't trust your weapons, you run the ball like you were earlier and like you did in the past two games, and then you put the ball in the hands of your lone playmakers, one of whom is the guy in the running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Why weren't there any passes to him during the game?
I don't know. You wonder, right? You wonder what they're thinking as a coaching staff.
That was very, very poor coaching the game.
I agree. What's going on at Thomas River there, Ralph? Anything?
Cold.
It's cold up there?
Down here.
Oh, down there. Down. That's right. It's down.
Yeah.
I used to go through
time. I'm an Eagle fan, a diehard Eagle fan, and I'm tired of the people saying, oh, Wentz. I can take any of the other quarterbacks to supposedly better than him. And they throw the ball and hit a rock and it fall on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I like that rock analogy. All right,
that's
buddy.
A good one.
Yeah,
that's actually a good one. It's the best one of the day.
Yes. Giovanni in Harleysville. What's up, Giovanni?
How you doing, Mike? Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, buddy?
Just calling. I feel like the narrative attacking Wentz, it's just lazy, right? I don't understand how you cannot hang this on the front office, Howie Roseman, and then even furthermore, Doug Peterson, right? So Howie went into this season, he did nothing for the wide receiver corps at all. Since winning the Super Bowl, Jeffrey's been leaking oil. I think we've seen the best of Aguilar, and he signed DeSean Jackson, who's, you know, he's an older guy. I mean, we were hanging on to false hope, thinking that he would play maybe 6-8 games this season. And we got him for one play.
They made some interesting misjudgments that you have pointed out. But I got to ask you a question. Please get me past 1st and 10 at the Patriots 26. Get me past that. I hear everything you say is correct. Now get me past 1st and 10 at the 26.
You can look at one game or one play and say, yeah, he made some mistakes. No quarterback in this league is perfect.
That's not good enough. A franchise quarterback making $30 million, 1st and 10 at the 26 with open receivers has to convert.
You ranked Carson out of all the quarterbacks.
I did.
The wide receivers. Where do they stand?
Well, wide receivers are probably last, but the point, you're still not getting me past the 1st and 10. You see, you can't ignore that.
No one's trying to ignore it. I'm just saying, look, that's one play in a game.
It's three plays.
Right? That's not like we've struggled throughout the first 5-6 games of this season, and it's not because of Carson Wentz.
Giovanni, I get what you're saying, but if you're paying an elite quarterback money to a player who you anointed your franchise quarterback, you expect him to deliver a win, especially when receivers were open. He made three errant throws. That's his fault.
Like I said, no quarterback is perfect.
Well, no, I disagree.
Well, you'd be wrong to disagree.
Plays come down to the clutch quarterbacks who are paid at that level don't miss those plays.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, very rarely.
What about Aaron Rodgers? And he was 34.
Has he been more successful than not?
Yes,
well,
but
Wentz hasn't.
Right, but he has Davante Adams
legacy
against the Eagles.
Dude,
they're down seven points with the ball, and he throws a game-ending interception.
It happens in those games. It could have been Joe Blow out there. They were open. It doesn't matter who the guy was at that
what
point if you're open.
No quarterback is perfect in those moments. You decided this one game defines him, and that's your choice.
I can't get
that's
past
fine.
The fact. I ripped on McNabb unmercifully. Right. When he missed receivers in clutch moments. I can't sit here and not rip Carson Wentz.
Rip him however you want. I don't care. What I'm saying is you're acting like Carson Wentz or McNabb were the only ones when the great quarterbacks that you rank, Aaron Rodgers threw a game-ending interception against the Eagles in the scoring range.
These are the ones in front of me for the Philadelphia Eagles. I pay attention to the moment because I'm invested in that game.
That's fine.
I can't balance it against how other quarterbacks failed. What I see
you're saying
is
that
my quarterback failing.
Right, you're saying that you said out loud just 2 seconds ago on TV and the radio that other quarterbacks are perfect in those moments. And then when I point out one that you saw that didn't happen,
listen,
that you said perfect,
seriously,
Mike. You said it out loud.
Are they more perfect than not
when
in
they have
situations
good players,
that define their legacy?
When they have good players.
Brady threw to Chris Hogan.
Not to win. He threw to guy with that was catching 100 passes a year. His current wide receiver, right now, the one who threw the touchdown pass, is the second all-time in postseason receptions. You're deciding he stinks.
Hold it. I hear what you're saying. I'm not in disagreement with you with the weapons. These particular weapons in these particular plays were wide open. He threw over your head and underneath.
And he was wrong for all those plays. What you're saying is that other quarterbacks don't make those mistakes, and I'm saying they do. They absolutely do, but because we're not fans of those teams, we ignore those.
If they did that a lot, they wouldn't be ranked in the top five quarterbacks of all time. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour, and I can't wait. It's ahead right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.